Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
I need help processing something, okay?
All right, well, then we'll give you the help.
We're all going to New York for Thanksgiving to be with my brother, Bobby. My brother is a really good chef. He's been cooking Thanksgiving because it falls to him for decades. This year, he's not going to cook Thanksgiving. We're going to a restaurant. It's a friend of his who's a chef. It's a vegetarian restaurant.
What? Hey, loser.
Yeah, not a loser.
I got a wife and a child who are like, what? Yeah. What are we doing?
What's the reason?
It's Thanksgiving,
why?
Man.
Why vegetarian?
Is he just kind of tired?
I think it's just a lot of gobble turkey, you know, by just gobble turkey from jive turkey gobblers.
The vegetarian restaurant, man.
Why wasn't anyone else kind of brought into the
circle of decision?
Show them the why. Show them the why. Why?
The big thing is collaboration.
What did you say about collaboration?
Thanksgiving is about the flavors, the delivering the exact flavor profiles of your youth. That's what it's always been about.
The flavor profiles of your youth. I don't trust Jewish Thanksgiving.
Oh, how dare you?
Are you boiling the turkey?
No, we're not.
For a very
Thank
long
you.
Time.
There were good ways. My mom did a couple of things well.
The Jews do some things well.
I don't know what the Holmeses are doing, but if you end up getting stuck and you're like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I'm sure my mom has been like, I want to meet Speak. So
let's do that.
You can come on out to the South Burbs.
Reverend, happy Thanksgiving.
Model, who needs it?
Oh, come on. Turkeys, sweet potatoes, pumpkin pie? You got to love all that, huh?
Yes, because you never lived through the Y.O. version. Major antipas first, then soup, meatballs and shkarol, then the baked manigot, then the bird.
Oh, I love manigot.
Turkeys are here.
There's some in here, too.
Thing with turkeys, they got no sense of direction. They're on their way to Food Emporium, and now look.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
There's still time for Speaks to bail if he needs to bail, and he's got options to do it. That man is Matt Spiegel.
I got to stick with the family for Thanksgiving, but I want to come hang with the Holmeses. Who knows what topics we can get into? Bunch of educators out there. Let's go. Want to try to work at the top of my intelligence with the Holmes family.
Well, I will say that often when I go see my parents, the conversations will go into a lot of different places. This last time when I went to go see him last week, my poor little dad is just like, what's wrong with the Bears?
Oh, no.
He's like, why aren't they good? I thought they were supposed
to
be good.
That's
so he's just sitting there, and I'm like, he was basically like, okay, son, go ahead with your presentation. Tell me why the Bears aren't
we're
good.
We're aware of what you do for a living. Let's let you get right to it.
And I was like, okay. So then I'm doing charts and diagrams and all
goodness.
Sorts of stuff. He's like, I thought they'd be better.
That's funny. It came up for me last night. I was at a rehearsal with Sonic 45 with my guys, Len Casper and Dag. No, it's Dog Julian Shane.
That's funny.
Len Casper and all those guys. We're playing on Sunday night, by the way, at Arlington Heights. Hey, Nani in Arlington Heights. If people out there, you want to come see some rock and roll, do it on Sunday night. But at one point, Len's like, so is the coach going to be back next year? And I'm like, let's not talk about that.
It's
Let's
rough.
Not do that because we do that here. And sometimes we don't want to do it away from here.
You mean your coach, Len, your OC? No, he's going to be gone. He's going to the Bears.
He's going to the
and
Bears.
And one and a two.
How about that?
Casper is so happy. His dad is a huge Lions fan. They watch games and text together. They're like, this might be the best season of your lifetime, Dad. Just relax and enjoy it.
I'm going to blame the Bears for the weather because, you know, while things are still looking like there's a possibility of some good stuff, the weather stayed great. Then the Bears lost to the Packers. And then what happened? Gray and gloomy. It started raining. And now we're in a full-fledged snowstorm.
You know what?
I blame the Bears.
It's a good call, actually, because the depression hit this week.
Yes.
Monday, I was sad. Tuesday, I was sad. And then we're talking about how the whole country's laughing at us. Yesterday, we were sad and then mad.
Here's the crazy part, because I know some people on Twitch will be like, hey, Lawrence, when you're pointing at stuff, like, what are you pointing at? So the screens are over here to the right. In our studio, and during interviews or like during a segment, I like tap speeds and be like, look,
yeah, there's
look
more.
At this topic that they're doing nationally. How Caleb would be drafted fourth if the draft were today.
I think that was Mike Tannenbaum who had thrown that out there, that Caleb would be drafted fourth among the quarterbacks if they redrafted. Shut up!
There were, what, three different times when I came yes. to you and was like, look at this!
Yeah.
There's more Bears stuff it's again!
You know what? The only thing that means is they hadn't heard Thomas Brown at the podium.
That's
all that means, Lawrence. Because you hear Thomas Brown at the podium, the cartoon hearts start coming out of your head. Like, people start making bets about the future of the Bears head coaching position.
Football's a violent game, and it rewards those that play the game violently.
Come on now. Come on. It's a violent game. Rewards those. That man is a leader. That man talks like a freaking leader. And we knew that was possible. Let's see if the offense is any good the rest of the way, because he's winning at the podium every damn time he's there.
I just want – this is what happened a couple of weeks ago.
Whatever.
When you started on your old Packers thing.
Yeah, stand by that.
You
would have been sitting pretty if they could have made a kick.
Why didn't you tell people about Chris Sale? That's a bet that you won.
Yeah, I did win that one.
See?
Yeah. I think I did. Plus 700. Bet on him in July to win the Cy.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was good.
This is nice.
Okay, man. Should have bet more. That's how they get you.
That's how they get you. But I just want you to just – this was 1 week. Very – to use baseball parlance in the parlance of our time.
Uh-huh.
Small sample size on Thomas Brown.
Whatever.
I don't need Lawrence.
Thank you. That's why I'm taking tomorrow off.
I'm addressing you. I don't need
semantics issue.
Lawrence.
That was a syntax problem.
Yes. I don't need a sample size to see the quality of a man. That man, Thomas Brown, is my head coach. Come next year, you're going to be hearing from Thomas Brown on Mondays, on Wednesdays, on Thursdays, on Fridays, on Sundays. That is the next head coach of the Chicago Bears.
Jaguars.
The Chicago Bears.
I think it's possible. I think it is possible because that is a very impressive man. And if this offense is clicking, they're not going to want to get rid of him. But I think it's possible. But Shane is all in on this.
Give him my salary.
I wouldn't get it done.
I think someone needs to bail out.
Yeah, it's not enough. Not
bail
nearly.
Out these prisoners of the moment here. These two guys.
Oh,
here.
Stop!
I like the guy too.
It's not a prisoner of the moment. It's not
because
we know. But here's the thing: we know they're not going
to
pay for Cliff Kingsbury for the other weirdo. They're not going to pay for John Gruden.
Ben Johnson?
Not Ben Johnson.
Cohen.
No, the other one that
Lincoln
Caleb
Riley.
Knows. Lincoln Riley. They're not going to pay for him. His face weirds me out a little bit. It's got a weird face.
They might not have to worry about, just to add something to it, they might not have to worry about the buyout for him. Because if the NCAA gets involved with stuff at USC, there's a clause where they can get him up out of there.
I'm not talking about the buyout. I'm talking about what they will require for salary. You can save money with Thomas Brown. First head coaching gig.
I know we don't want to do that anymore. I know we don't want the first-time head coach anymore, but this man is it.
This has been your platform for many years, and I've always respected the way you try to save money for NFL owners.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite qualities about you.
Thank you.
I will say, though, he did say some good things today. And I'm not ready to anoint him head coach right now, but he's doing the job.
Right now, the horse should be leading the cart. I believe the cart is way out in front of the horse. Can we hear Thomas Brown from today?
So brother, we're on top of the horse right now. We don't need a cart.
Hey, it's a big horse, and it must be ridden.
Got to be ridden.
A couple things in here we have never heard a Bears coach say. I'll just put it that way.
But I'll start with this, right? So it's kind of what I told the offense on Monday. There are no attaboys in this game. We played a game to win, and we came up short.
Yeah. Thomas, how do you balance wanting to do what you believe in as a play caller, but also acknowledging that your quarterback's been studying, you know, Shane's playbook since before he was drafted?
Yeah.
And that those two things aren't identical.
Yeah.
What is the give and take between what you think he may be comfortable with versus what you are comfortable with as a play caller?
Yeah, I think it's simple. It doesn't matter what I'm comfortable with. I don't play, right? So I can always adapt and adjust. To me, it's my job as a coordinator to adapt and adjust to our players and what those guys do well. So whether it's Caleb, whether it's our line, whether it's our receivers or tight ends or backs, it's our job to design a plan to obviously attack the defense, but also favor what we do well.
Are there wrinkles that you can add incrementally each week that are, you know, what you want to do, you know, each week, or can you only basically run Shane's offense?
Yeah, I definitely understand the question. The wrinkles I want to add is whatever's best for our team. So it's regardless of what I may want to do, because it's not about me.
But, dude, look, there is the demeanor and the delivery and the no nonsense and the no attaboys. But that is an offensive coordinator saying it's not about me. Twice saying it's not about my ego and what I want to do. We live in a world where Matt Nagy was trying to impress us with his geniusness. And then Luke Getsy was trying to show us how smart he was. And then Shane Waldron was trying to show you how cute he was over and over and over again. All these freaking play collectors. Look at me. Look what I can design. Look at my Rolodex of running plays. Who cares if they have anything to do with the offense does well? Who cares what the quarterback needs? This man is a much smarter leader in all of the ways that we have wanted. Let's go.
He said, I understand the question. When did Shane Waldron ever say that? Or Matt Eberflus? They don't understand the questions.
I do like that he is okay with like tailoring things to the actual personnel. And I mean, look, just because this is just like a semantics thing that I would like to clear up. Just because it is Shane's playbook doesn't mean that when you go into a game plan, playbook and game plan are two very different things. He can take all of the things that he likes and find the stuff that Caleb likes, and they can tailor it to the opponent that they're going to play, which is kind of the idea.
Like, some of this is just so basic, and I know we're like, we're over the top. Shane is the most over the top. I'm impressed with the guy, and I'm holding out some hope for what can happen. What I will say is that we know that the expediency with which he does the job on game day, in terms of like getting the plays in very quickly,
it's
helpful for then the players to take over and do what he's saying. Like, they're the ones playing. You can't have the players taking care of it if they're confused and waiting for your late and scattershot directions.
Look, I don't like being Dr. No on this show. I'll just tell you guys that. I feel like I'm often in a position where I have to be Dr. No.
Yeah, you're Dr. No. You're also Mr. Validation.
Yes. I prefer Dr. No to Mr. Validation, but they're both accurate.
For obvious reasons.
They're both accurate. It's one game. I feel compelled to say that it's one game.
Well aware.
This week, a real challenge. What is he like when he loses? Because we don't know. Maybe he's a bus tosser. I don't suspect that's the case because he's a former player. But we don't know. What happens when things don't go the way that he wants them to go?
Mm-hmm.
How does he react in those moments? Those are things that I'd like to find out before I anoint him head coach. And here's the other problem, Shane. Shane and I have a bet.
Yeah, you guys have a bet. I saw the bet happen.
The other problem is,
can we tell people what the bet is
here,
though?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's the bet. You guys bet Shane announced that he thinks Thomas Brown is going to be the head coach of the Bears next
I know season. That he's the next coach, head coach
and,
of the Bears.
And Lawrence offered him a bet, dinner. Winner gets to choose the restaurant, loser has to pay. And Shane thought about it and extended the hand, and I witnessed the handshake.
Yeah, it happened.
Part of the problem, I mean, there's a huge problem with your premise, but the part of the problem with the premise on this is if he does well, they might not fire Eberflus.
Just no, he's gone.
Okay.
I think
he's a dead man walking.
If you want to do semantics, I said that he's the next head coach of the Chicago Bears.
If you
want to do that, that's what I said.
Okay.
I didn't say it's going to be next
year. That's what I said.
If Matt Eberflus is fired, the head coach. Okay, Tanner. Head coach is Thomas Brown.
So what do we do if it's interim?
Push.
Okay.
And just wait.
Okay.
Now, what happens if, you know, a miracle happens? You know, Kyle Shanahan's available, but you say, oh, you got to keep Thomas Brown here. Players love him.
No, that's a loss.
Exactly.
That's a loss.
Yeah, it is.
All right, how about the deal? Yeah. If there's an interim, if he gets the interim coach.
Interim is push.
No, interim, me and Tanny will go to dinner.
I like that idea,
and Tanny,
too.
I'll buy. I'm happy to buy.
As you always do.
Why don't we take a break and hear from another coach on the Bears coaching staff who we do need to hear from because our guy, Patrick Manley, laid the Bears to waste yesterday. Richard Hightower has some explaining to do, and we'll let him explain to you next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
I'm just really upset that they say this was not discussed. This, again, is coaching 101, and it should be taken care of during the offseason, during OTAs, training camp, every Thursday. And if he's being honest that it was not discussed, that's bad football. That's bad football coaching. And you know what's going to be bad? Is Richard Hightower tomorrow has to be at the podium and answer these questions. What a coach would tell to me if I'm playing poorly. And Lawrence, remember when Olin said what Lovey would say to him?
Yep, need more from the big guy.
But yep, that's the same thing. I'm a 16-year alumni of the Chicago Bears. This is me ranting a little bit that I need more from this organization. I need more from Matt Eberflus. That's just what I want to see, and I'm not seeing it.
That was Patrick Manley yesterday, and he was terrific. Our friend was on fire, and he was completely justified. Righteous indignation from Patrick Manley about the special teams stuff at the Bears.
And part of it was empathy about his special teams friends, his special teams coaches, and Richard Hightower himself, who he name drops because he knows that Richard Hightower is going to have to go out there and deal with the mess that Matt Eberflus left for him. Head coaching responsibilities that he didn't own up to in previous days at the podium that now Richard has to.
So why don't we hear from Richard Hightower as he explains what the breakdowns were at the end of the game. And you'll notice that he is definitely pointing a thumb.
Here's Richard Hightower, H-Mac.
Hey, Tori, how you doing, man?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. All right. I have to address y'all like the players if you want to say good afternoon. All right. Obviously, extremely disappointed with the way the game ended. First and foremost, extremely disappointed for our players. But I'm also disappointed for our support staff, our entire organization, and for the city of Chicago. As I always tell you all, for any success or any failure of any field goal, it starts with the protection, the operation, and the execution. And when those things are right, you have a successful field goal. When those things are wrong, your field goal isn't what you want it to be. And that starts and ends with me. And that was not the desired result that we wanted on that play. However, I am excited about the look in the guys' eyes and us turning the page and an opportunity to respond versus Minnesota. That's what I'm looking forward to. So with that, we can open up questions.
Richard, with the protection on the field goal, what needs to happen to be firmer in that middle A-gap spot where the rush came from?
Yeah, we just gotta get it to our technique more quickly and more violently than our opponent. And that's what needs to happen to firm it up there. And I'm looking forward to our guys responding this week and getting that done.
the Packers indicated that they saw a weakness that they could attack. It was either in the previous in the game or maybe had film against Arizona, I can't remember. But did you see that? And did you know you were vulnerable there as well?
Well, I will tell you this, Mark. On every play, in every situation that you look at, every team's vulnerable on something because it's about who has the chalk last. So every team's vulnerable. And anything we see, we always correct it. And just like any other play on the football field. So we correct everything. And we didn't get the desired result on that play. And that's disappointing. So I'm hurting for our guys. And I'm hurting for our fans. But we're going to turn the page, and we're looking forward to coming out and fighting versus Minnesota. What I told our guys is in adversity you have and it strikes in life, you got to get up off the mat. You bleed a little bit, and sometimes you bleed a lot, but you got to get up and fight. And that's the message that I told them, and that's the message that we're going with.
Coach, I know it's not an excuse, but there has been a lot of shuffling along the offensive line in recent weeks. Just in what ways does that kind of stress your unit when you got guys coming in and out with the limited amount of reps you get during practice?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, Adam. What I would say is there are always going to be changes. There's always going to be shuffling with a ton of different positions. But my job is to look at what I can do better, and whatever guys that I have is to get them to perform and execute at the highest level, every time, no matter if it's a game-winning kick or if it's a normal kick.
Richard, Flew said yesterday that you had turned in the play in the league, looking at the long snapper, Scott Bailey in particular. He said you're going to hear back yesterday. Have you heard back, and if so, what did you hear?
Yeah, I understand why you're asking the question in regards to the league. That's really not for me to speak to, and quite honestly, it doesn't change the result. The result is to win, and it don't change the result. So what I'm concerned with is what I can do better as a coach, how I can coach the protection better, the operation better, and the execution, because that's what's in my control. So that's what I'm focused on. That's probably a better question for the league.
Does the hash mark matter in that left, right, with the wind, whatever, what Carroll likes, doesn't like? Does that matter in that situation?
Doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter, because when they call field goal, we got to go out there and perform. That's what matters. Going out there and perform, getting the desired result. I can't allow myself to have excuses. I don't deal in that world. This is a results-based business, and you have to deal in result. In fact, correct what happened, move on, use it to your advantage, and then let's go to work. And that's the mind state I'm in. All my energy and my focus is on beating Minnesota. That's what my energy's on and my focus.
Admirable. It's you hear him say that the hash mark doesn't matter.
It does.
And I can't deal in excuses. It absolutely matters. I agree with you, Lawrence. And here's the thing. He can't deal in excuses, because if he says it matters, then that's on the coach for not getting it there. That's not on the offense for not getting it there, on the head coach for not making sure it gets there.
It is the antithesis of what he said earlier, where he says, my job is to put the players in the best possible position to execute. Even if we took that literally, he didn't get the kicker in the best possible position on the field to execute the game-winning kick. So I admire his approach to it, too. I admire that it starts and stops with him, except it doesn't. It starts and stops with the head coach, but I admire that. I admire that it's about winning. You see Tanny explode when he was talking about that. All of the stuff with sending the tape in is excuse making. Like, it doesn't help you win. We lost the game. It's time to move on from that.
Yeah.
Shane, would you like to now also add in Richard Hightower to be the next Bears head coach?
Yeah, no. So I was going to, until that last answer. Stand up for your player, not for the head coach. say the hash mark matters because the hash mark does matter. Put your player in the most comfortable position.
Yeah, you say that. You're starting a firestorm, though.
Thomas Brown would have never said that. Not my head coach.
We haven't seen Thomas Brown with a situation like that where he's got to pick his poison.
But he could say, you know, look, we are aware that Cairo has a preference, and we try to do everything we can to make that a thing.
It's out of my control. Once I am there, we have to do what we can, and he can make it from the right hash.
Yeah, we balance all the risks and rewards of every possible scenario and getting it closer to the right hash, but we felt like this wasn't the best way to approach that.
When I'm given a job, we have a job to do. Yeah, I mean, there's sort of something he can say, but it's not. He's not going to bury his own head coach. I thought when Pat said to us yesterday, this takes me into their hallways and offices, you know, that was telling to me, because Pat's talking about when they don't have their act together and their communication's straight and the head coach is not owning it and they either don't know it or is too insecure to say that, oh, I knew it, I just messed it up. That takes you into their relationships in hallways and offices and not just on game day. This thing is such an obvious, an ugly problem. It's a damn shame.
I agree with you. And I think that, like, whenever we talk about him being a dead man walking, know that I am with you in spirit. He should be gone for multiple reasons. His hiring being at the top of that list, and the fact that 3 years in, when it comes to actual game situations and the amount of games that he's lost, when the Bears have had a 95% probability of winning the game.
There's so many.
But they, for some reason, he has been able to charm his way, or Ryan Poles feels some sort of fealty to him. I don't know what it is, but it strikes me as if things go well, they'll figure out a way to erase all of this.
But
it does feel like now he's taking on water from all different sides of the boat.
Here's an added part of why I think he's a dead man walking. I think Ryan Poles is not going to get another head coach if he has another year of underperformance. Like, if they're bad next year, I think Poles is in a lot more trouble. And so, hold on. So if you're Poles, you gotta do something to get this right. You stand by Matt Eberflus now, and you come out and you crap the bed again next year. I don't think you get that second head coach. As it stands now, this offseason, I think for sure he would get a second head coach. I saw the morning show was discussing this. Does Ryan Poles deserve a second head coach? Yeah, he does. I let him get a second head coach now, this offseason. If he waits one more year and again decides that Matt Eberflus is his guy and they're bad again next year, they underperform next year, then I think they're both going to get drummed out.
On that topic, this was a bit of a surprise hearing this on the pregame show this weekend. Dan Pompey was on, and he said this about maybe Ryan Poles shouldn't feel as safe as that.
Oh, Lawrence, there's definitely going to be significant changes if they don't pull themselves out of the tailspin, which seems highly unlikely. I think what you have to keep in mind in the big picture is that they have a new team president who didn't hire these guys. Now, obviously, you know, he kind of signed off on them. I think he could have made changes previously. But at some point, I think Kevin Warren's going to say, unless there's validation for these guys being here, he's going to want to make his own moves and bring his own people in. And I think, that's going to probably happen sooner rather than later if the Bears don't have some kind of turnaround. They don't end the season on some kind of positive note that makes them feel good moving forward.
Oh, God.
Now, it's very important to let you know who said that. Dan Pompey is a Hall of Fame writer. He is not a take artist. He has got everybody's phone number in the league. He has got sources up the wazoo. I was shocked to hear him say that. And now I'm like, okay, that is interesting that it is at least in the bloodstream that they could make all sorts of moves.
Well, and the obvious danger there is both in Kevin Warren not necessarily having football instincts, if you're afraid of those, but in Kevin Warren's main objective being a stadium and goodwill and the perception of goodwill. And if he decides that they need major changes, salute, to get that ball rolling. Let's say he talks to somebody in the governor's office who says, well, this team isn't going anywhere. He says, well, what if I brought in the right guys and I showed you that? Would you then be behind me? And blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like other voices in Kevin Warren's ear about his main objective could be scary in that way. Oh, God, Pompey. I wasn't ready for that.
Oh, well, now you're ready. Are you ready for Jarrett Payton?
Yeah.
Jarrett Payton is going to join us. We'll ask him what he thinks about all of this stuff. He has been coached by some legends in the game. He's got thoughts on all of it. We'll share it next on The Score.